Tune into this brand new episode to find out what are the common pitfalls in the event management softwares and event management in general, how to solve them, maybe learn a thing or two about event management solutions that don't require complicated integrations, what is Salesforce, and how event professionals can use it to their advantage to get the most out of their hybrid events.
Welcome to Events Demystified Podcast, where we explore and demystify the world of in-person, virtual, hybrid event AV production and technology by sharing insightful tips, tricks, and tactics to make your events a success. This podcast is brought to you by Tree Fan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency. And your host is Anka Trifan, a technical event planner and producer with almost two decades of hands-on technical experience in event production.
Well, hello there, friends. Welcome to another episode of Events Demystified Podcast, your one-stop shop for tangible, technical, and planning advice for anyone in the event industry. Today's episode is sponsored by Trifan Events, a woman-owned boutique production agency that provides the strategy, technology, and gear to host a successful virtual and hybrid event. And I am your host, Anka Trifan. On the show with me today, I have Matt Frank, the Director of Technology, Evangelism, and Product Marketing at Blackthorn IO, a Denver resident and avid music enthusiast. I'm going to have to talk more about that. That has one goal in mind: to empower organizations with apps that delight and, simply put, just work. After years working for nonprofits and in higher education, Matt became frustrated with the many disconnected legacy services that dominated those industries and fell backward into the world of SaaS technology. This led him to Salesforce ecosystem, where he has worked for multiple award-winning ISV partners that focused on nonprofits, NGOs, associations, and higher ed. He is currently with an award-winning partner that has seen exponential growth and success since its founding in 2015. You will have the opportunity to learn more about Matt and everything that he's about by following the links in the episode notes. In the meantime, I would love to welcome our guest in. Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am trying to stay cool like a cucumber because it's about 105 degrees and it's been like in our area in Boise, it's been an onslaught of super hot days. I don't know what it's like in your space, but man, it's been hot.
Oh, it's been hot here too. So actually, our VP of marketing is in Boise as well. And we were just talking about this on our stand-up this morning. She said it was 105 there yesterday. Yep. And then Denver, luckily, we've had a week of just in the 90s, which is still pretty warm. But the prior week was 101, 102, 103 every single day. But we had some rainstorms to cool it off. You know,
we're okay, so tell me what it's like next week, because I'll be in Denver next week. So I want to hear more like 80s.
I could ask Siri for you if you want. No, this time of year, it's beautiful in Colorado, in Denver especially. You know, it's nice, warm, not so much in the humidity, but it's a beautiful place to be. If you're coming for an event, if you're just coming to hike, it's a great city for that.
Well, probably I won't have the opportunity much for hiking because I'll be working on event the whole week, but I would love to entertain that idea. I mean, that would be amazing.
Oh, at least make it to the Red Rocks while you're here. That in and of itself is a trip that's worth it. Whether you're seeing a concert or an event there, or you're just going to experience the beauty of that natural amphitheater, it's well worth it.
I've seen so many Instagram posts about that that it must be on my destinations. We'll see if I can make it work. I'll let you know for sure. Matt, this is something that I wanted to ask you because you've lived abroad for a season and it seems like you returned back to US from UK just as the pandemic was shutting the whole world down. I'm just curious, as I was processing this, was that decision made in light of the pandemic lurking on the horizon, or was it just a matter of crazy timing?
So the company I was working for at the time, as the pandemic hit, and it looked like lockdown was going to take longer and longer and longer to, you know, stay in effect and be reopened the world, they moved me back. And so it was actually April of 2020, about a month and a half after lockdown started in the UK, that I was moved back. It was a strange time to be able to do it. I don't know if you've ever seen an airport empty before, but it's like being in a zombie movie. You expect them to pop out after every corner. And there were 16 people on our flight. It was a 787.
Well, I'm surprised that you were able to get out. I actually have family in the UK and they're not able to get out. Like, they were stuck there.
We almost couldn't. My wife and I, you know, luckily we have US passports, and it was during that very narrow period where if you had a US passport, the government was obligated to get you back into the country in some way, shape, or form. So we were the only flight that day leaving Heathrow Airport to fly to the US.
That's crazy.
16 of us on the plane. Oh, it was wild.
It sounds like you've got stories to tell way into your into old age. Remember that one time?
You know, I've lived a life. There's a few stories that can be told here or there. It's just a matter of, you know, what rating you want the podcast to be that day.
There you go. Well, that's for sure. The fact that you've been around the block for a while, you know, working in the nonprofit sector, as I was mentioning earlier, as well as the higher education with teams across North America, Europe, Australia, for projects large and small. And you have a strong history of multilingual and multicultural business relationships. And with that, what are some of the maybe common pitfalls that you've noticed or maybe experienced in the event management space? And what are some of the solutions to solving them? Since that's basically what I was leading with. And I'm so curious of hearing your take on that.
Yeah. One of the great things about working in the SaaS software world and the experience that I've had is that you get to work with people all over the world. But that also means you need to have a bit of cultural literacy as you're working with people in different countries and different continents. You may be working with people where their culture is a little bit more indirect as they talk about areas where they would like to see changes or improvements. Or you might be dealing with a culture where they're more direct and they don't want you to beat around the bush, right? There may be language barriers. You may be dealing with someone who, you know, if English is the language of the business that you're working with, that may be their third or fourth language, or sometimes fifth language in my experience, which made things very interesting.
Wow.
And then there's also interesting technology things as well. As we have seen more virtual and hybrid event platforms come online over the last 2, 3, 4 years, we've also seen people wanting to put those same event registration sites in multiple languages, because maybe you have people joining from Poland or people signing up from Argentina. Or in Canada, you have to do English and French. But what happens during the event if you don't have translation, whether that's subtitles or live translation, in those languages that you're allowing people to register in, right? So it's just being aware that you may have people all over the world signing in, but you have to find those sort of commonplace factors that allow you to have a successful event going forward. In cultural literacy, language awareness, these are two of the key factors to success.
Yeah, because I'm bilingual and I do come from a culture that is way more direct than I would call our culture to be here. I totally understand the need for like get to the point. Like I love a good story, but at the end of the day, I want to hear what exactly are you trying to get to?
Oh, totally. Cut to the chase, right?
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, I would like go straight to the point and people would be like, wait a second, we didn't spend 15 minutes chit-chatting. Like, I'm not ready to just get to the point. What are you talking about? Time is of essence.
Oh my goodness. I ran into that so often when I, as you mentioned earlier, I lived in the UK for a number of years. And, you know, if you're doing business in Switzerland, for example, it's almost obligatory that you need to have that 5 or 10 minutes of chit chat beforehand.
Yeah.
But just over the border in Germany, get to the point.
No, get to the point, because otherwise mistrust starts sipping in.
Yeah. Why are you delaying here? Are you good? Are you trying not to give me bad news? Are you trying to let me down?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So that awareness is super important, right?
So how do you get to that awareness? Like, do you feel like you really need to have a little bit of boots on the ground experience? Or is there a way to get to it without necessarily being physically embedded in one culture or another?
In my experience, it's twofold. It's a mixture of trial and error. So, you know, half the time you're not going to learn things until you try them. And that means talking, you know, talking to people and learning. But also having good partners and good guides makes a huge difference when you're moving into areas and geographies that maybe you're not used to working in, right? So I have friends and partners who are based in Sweden, Finland, Norway. And I had not done business in there prior to 2017. But working through them, understanding business nuance, understanding, you know, just some minor differences in meaning of words made all the difference in some event successes that we saw in Stockholm, in Oslo, in Helsinki during that same time.
Well, let's dive a little bit into this world of SaaS technology and Salesforce ecosystem. And before we actually do that, would you give our audience that is not familiar with some of these terms a little bit of a rundown of what it all means and what does SaaS stand for and what is Salesforce? Like, let's start from the beginning, like exactly like basic 101 knowledge.
Totally. Let's set a base level of knowledge and expectation here. Totally get it. So SaaS, S-A-A-S, and it's usually you're going to see two big S's at the end, little A's in between. It stands for software as a service. It means you're signing up for subscription usership or membership to a particular software platform so that you can use its tools and its applications over, you know, a certain period of time. That could be for a month, it could be for 6 months, it could be for a year. But you're buying it as a service. You're not just buying the software outright. So a way to think about that is many of your listeners remember going to high school and college and getting the old CD-ROMs of Microsoft Office, and you could plug that into your computer and that would give you Word and Excel and a PowerPoint. But now if you want to use Microsoft Office, you go to the Microsoft website and you pay for monthly or an annual subscription. That's software as a service right there.
So it's not necessarily a one-time fee anymore and you just got your whatever DVD and you have that software until maybe years down the line, you realize that you actually need some updates.
Exactly, right? So if you're trying to use Windows 98, good luck to you. When it comes to it, right? It's not going to work.
Out there in the world, I'm pretty sure somebody's still using Windows 98.
Trust me, I have dealt with some customers that are still running off of Windows XP, which is 2001? Interesting.
When was that? Like, I feel like it was
Windows 2001? XP was 99, I want to say. Way back in the 20th century, that came out. You know, we've dealt with organizations that are still using it. It's weird, but it's strange, and it's what they do. Maybe there's a business reason for it. Maybe there's not. Who knows, right? But dovetailing off of that, right? From software as a service, you came with these new types of technologies called CRM technology, so customer relationship management tools. And that's where Salesforce lives. So it got its start around the turn of the century as well as a CRM that was built in the cloud. So whenever you hear SaaS and you hear cloud, you're going to think of those two things very, very similarly. Okay. And what they allow you to do is connect customers with each other and customers to businesses so that you can leverage that data and grow your organization by its mission, whether that's additional sales and revenue, or you're a mission-driven organization, you're trying to measure impact through grants, through volunteer programs. Salesforce gives you a platform to store all of that data, make the connections between the different data tables or objects, and then utilize that to make data-informed decisions on what you should do next. And that includes things like marketing and the events world. You can bring that all in together and track all that data from your very first list pre-invitation all the way through to your follow-up surveys and inviting people to future courses, classes, conferences, and events going forward.
Do you feel like Salesforce is equally adopted across the nonprofit sector, or there's only a small percentage of nonprofits and NGOs that are embracing it?
That's a really interesting question. I would say that there's a growing percentage of organizations adopting Salesforce nowadays. Maybe about a decade ago, nonprofits were able to start taking advantage of Salesforce using 10 free licenses that were given by what was called the Salesforce Foundation, then Salesforce.org, and now it's just Salesforce Industries. Mm-hmm. And so they've been able to adopt that for purposes of grant management, donations, and a few other essential services. Mm-hmm. As organizations have grown during the last decade, I would say that when you're talking the upper mid-market and enterprise level nonprofits, they're using Salesforce in some capacity. And we're seeing, you know, slower growth, but they're following the trend in the smaller nonprofits and mid-market nonprofits.
Is it a matter of a cost, or is it a matter of not being informed enough?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Once you get past those 10 free licenses, yes, there's a cost per user per year when you want to access it. And there's something called the App Exchange, which allows you to, like an app store on your phone, download individual apps for different purposes that go in there. Each one of those likely has a cost. Yes, there's a nonprofit discount, but they do have costs related to them. But then there's also a misconception, right? You look at the name Salesforce and you just think it's a sales-based CRM, right? It's a tool to make sales. And even Mark Benioff, who's actually right there in that book, that's his face right there. This is book Trailblazer. It's actually very good. I highly endorse it if you want to learn about Salesforce and his journey. He says the one thing he regrets about the platform early on is the name, because that implication is wrong. It's designed to make connections and to allow you to use that data to deepen those connections so that you can have successful engagements. Again, whether that's a sales relationship or an invitation to a conference, we want you to be able to have that data at your fingertips and be able to use it accordingly.
Okay, so now that we're somewhat clear on these terms and also the regret behind the name itself. Since our current sort of like endemic event world is very much a mix of in-person with some degree of virtual, let's demystify the concept of getting the most out of a hybrid event with the use of Salesforce. And what does that entail for the event professional?
So for the average event professional, it means having two pieces of technology from Salesforce from the start. It means having an events application that's either integrated with or native to, preferably native to, meaning it's built on Salesforce, and having some sort of communications or marketing tool that you can utilize with the event management tool on Salesforce. That way you have one single set of data that you're using, you know, regardless of whether the person is signing up in person or they're signing up virtually to attend this hybrid event. Through that event management software, you're able to create your different ticket types, your sessions, your registration sites, and all of this is pretty point and click. So if your event managers are used to using something like a Cvent or an Eventbrite or Splash or Hopin, RainFocus, any number of
event platforms out there that do a lot of things.
Number of event platforms that are out there, you're absolutely used to these types of interfaces. And you're just bringing that into Salesforce and you're utilizing the customer data that maybe a sales team or a membership team is already using in another part of the organization.
Does it take a lot of analytical knowledge to be able to analyze this data, or is it already done for you in an easy way so that you don't have to spend your two last neurons left in your brain to go in the data now and figure out, okay, what is the trend here?
No, it's pretty well organized for you. And that's the beauty of doing it on something like Salesforce, is that the data tables, or they're called objects in Salesforce, mm-hmm. are designed for you. And there is a little bit of AI or knowledge tools behind the reporting mechanisms so mm-hmm. that you're able to see those connections and choose them from point jump. So if you want to see events with attendees and the sessions that they've signed up for, all of that is predefined for you, and you just run the report, and maybe you set a few filters or parameters. So it's really designed for technical and non-technical users to be able to get that same data out there without using their last two brain cells, because we all know that planning large-scale conferences can take everything out of you.
Basically.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
What are some of the benefits of using it in a hybrid event setup then?
Yeah. So it means that the data stream for the event manager or event director is the same. Your invitations and your registrations, you get to see both of them side by side, and you're allowed to parse that data. So see who's virtual, who's in person, without really having to work to differentiate that data. So that's number one. Number two, you can see all of your registration as data next to your budgetary data. And you can track your profit and loss really, really simply just by using formula fields that automatically feed that data back to you. But most importantly, it allows you to track both experiences, both the virtual and the in-person, at the same time, and ensure that there's the same level of engagement for both audiences. So you can see who's logged in, who's typing into chat, who's asking questions on the hybrid side, and you're able to see who's asking questions live in person in the room on the in-person side of the event. And both of those data streams are right next to each other in the CRM. Mm. Which is really cool, because they're then tracked back next to the same contacts. Who is that individual? And their companies, who do they work for? Who is their family, or what school are they related to? And then you can report on that using those same predefined reports that we just discussed a moment ago, all in one place. So you're not tracking your virtual data in one system and your live data in a second system and having to reconcile it in a third system and probably getting frustrated moving to Excel.
Yeah, right. I've seen that before, for sure. Well, Matt, before we actually dive more into this, and I really want to also hear more about Blackthorn.io and how does that integrate with Salesforce, we're going to just take a quick moment to acknowledge our podcast sponsors and supporter, and we will be right back. Before we move any further, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our main sponsor, Trifan Events, which is a boutique event planning and production agency that will come alongside you, offering personalized event planning and technical support, strategic event design, production and technology management, and flawless execution for live, virtual, and hybrid events. The team at Trifan Events is passionate about planning and producing event experiences that get people involved with true moments of interaction, engagement, and co-creation, while offering white glove treatment throughout the entire planning process, enabling you to reach your event goals with the use of creativity, production tools, and event technology. Find out how Trifan Events can plan and produce your event become memorable. Go to trifanevents.com. Okay, Matt, so piggybacking on our previous question, what kind of strategy is necessary in order to ensure that sensitive data remains secure for the event professional that is transitioning their events fully back to in-person events now?
So data security, let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so obviously, I'm biased towards Salesforce. I work for a company that works with Salesforce. I've made my, the last decade of my career in Salesforce, that ecosystem of partners and technology. So take everything I say with that giant Salesforce grain of salt that comes with it. All right. As you're moving from virtual, which made it really easy to keep all of that data secure because it was all digitized to begin with, back into the world of in-person events, you have to make sure that the systems you're utilizing have those same security parameters attached to them. So if you're using a CRM like Salesforce to do it, make sure that the objects, records, and fields have the right permission sets assigned to them. And you as an event manager shouldn't be required to set that up. If you have a system administrator or an IT professional, they can set that up with you and for you. You just have to tell them who needs to see what and why. Okay? So that's the first thing that goes along with it. The second thing is running a test to make sure that the setup that you've requested within a CRM is actually running properly. So you can do that one of two ways. Either setting up a phony registration, dummy registration on a fake site and adding a bunch of questions in there that you know you should never have in your event manager tool, or that people other than a very select few should be able to see, and actually testing the process, see how it goes through and then adjusting accordingly. Maybe you have to bring that system admin back in. Maybe you have to bring the IT person back in, or maybe you have to rethink the questions you're asking, right? That go along with it. So making sure that the registration tool that you're using is secure, it has that HTTPS at the beginning of every URL, because the S stands for secure. So making sure that that's there. Making sure that any forms you're using have encryption on the answers that you're putting in and how they're transmitting into your baseline event management tool. And then making sure, again, as I said at the beginning, that only the right people have the right access to the right information at the right time. So it's all about making sure that the relationships that you've set up are appropriately adhered to and that your IT team is working with you to support those relationships.
So in your opinion, working in the world of SaaS technology, then what type of event metrics should event professionals focus on capturing for their events, and why are those metrics important?
Yeah. So if you're doing a virtual or a hybrid event, you want to track if someone logged on, how long they logged on, and what they viewed. Right? Because that's going to give you an idea of what's working and what's not working virtually and what's interesting versus not interesting. If you've set up a gamification aspect to your event, maybe there's some sort of bingo board, or you have to visit a certain number of sponsors or vendors and you get a prize, right? Tracking the differences between your virtual attendees and your in-person attendees to make sure that you've set up the event so that both can engage successfully with it. Tracking the number of visitors to sponsor booths or vendor booths at a trade show, super important. And again, you can do both of those things on a virtual event and an in-person event by tracking it within a CRM, using an event management tool within that sort of world to track those data points. And then lastly, if you're having an in-person event, in all likelihood, you're going to have an app for that event. So you want to be able to track the connections made between the different attendees at that event as well. That gives you an idea of who's engaging with the organization, who's sponsoring or putting on the event, who's engaging with the sponsors of the event, the different vendors and exhibitors, and how are the attendees engaging with each other. That starts to give you a whole view into the success of the event beyond, did you make back your expenses and will there be sales or membership renewals off the back of this? It gives you that sort of return on event mindset, which is something that I'm very passionate about, where it looks at the data and the metrics that you get from the event as a starting point for a conversation, rather than just an end point that you produce back to, you know, whoever your customer is on the success or failure.
So let's talk a little bit about Blackthorn.io. And you did mention how it's been an award-winning Salesforce partner for quite a few years, and it's seen some exponential growth and success since its funding. Now, explain to me, what is Blackthorn.io? What does it do? And for any of our listeners that this is the first time that they hear about it, what is the benefit of using it?
Sure. So Blackthorn.io, we are what's called a product partner or an ISV partner of Salesforce. That means that we build applications that are designed to work within a specific Salesforce environment for the benefit of the organization that's using it. So if you're an association and you're hosting a big conference, you can use our events app to plan, register for, take payments, session registration, sponsor management, budget, all of that inside of Salesforce, all using point and click tools. And you don't have to manage integrations. You don't have to manage API calls because it's all inside basically the hub of information for your organization. Okay. And we design an events app, we design a payments app, we've designed text messaging, data compliance, but it's all designed to be built within a Salesforce environment for the ease of use of a system administrator, a event director, a marketer, even a finance person to be able to have the data they need at their fingertips, which is really, really nice. We've won a ton of awards for this too. So we've been the education partner of the year. We've been the what's called a cross-industry partner of the year. And the only way you get these types of awards is if you can show client satisfaction and growth. Mm-hmm. Now the company itself, we've been around since 2015, but we've grown by over 100% in the last year, which is insane to think about, right? I was the 38th person to join the company last July. We're over 100 people now.
Wow.
Right? Wild.
Because of this success, is there a particular event that this is most beneficial for? I'm assuming there is a point at which you break even depending on how many attendees you're looking at, right?
Yes and no, actually. So, you know, because hybrid events, as many of your guests have said, and you know, we've heard it everywhere, hybrid events are here to stay, right? That's the way. Right? We've heard that time and time again, and we're going to keep hearing that for years going forward. Even as in-person events continue to grow, we'll always have that little bit of a virtual aspect to some capacity. And so having a tool that's utilizing the common data set by the entire rest of the organization, so within a CRM or within your ERP, if you're a certain type of organization, that's essential now because it means you're not having a bunch of data silos everywhere. That's super important. And then being able to build off of that data to create a world where thinking about different event sizes and event types and what type of software would be worthwhile for them. Blackthorn's a little bit unique in this way because many, many types of software are built for a certain segment of the events market, right? So if you look at a Rain Focus as a great example, it's really designed for the enterprise market, the biggest events that you're going to have. That's why with Dreamforce, which is Salesforce's premier conference they do every year, when you register, you use a tool like that to do it. It makes perfect sense. With Blackthorn, it's designed to be a scalable event solution. And really, that's the way of many of these CRM native event management softwares. They're designed to work for nonprofits who maybe have a volunteer group that runs it and they only run free events. And maybe it's a fun run with 200 folks and that's their big quarterly event. We want them to be able to have the same success that a university that's having, you know, 7,000 people over 2 days for a series of orientation events, we want them to be able to have the same level of success with the software. Whereas some organizations, like the one I mentioned previously, define themselves by the level of the market that they're playing at. We really define ourselves by the value we can provide to the organization as opposed to the number of attendees you're going to bring to one or multiple events over a given period of time.
That's good to know because basically that's what I was trying to get at. For anyone that is not necessarily familiar with Blackthorn.io and they're wondering, okay, so I have this small, you know, organization. Is this a solution that I should even keep in mind? You know, is it something that I should be interested in researching more or is way above my league that you guys are talking about things that just does not necessarily offer solutions for this small, whatever NGO nonprofit that I'm working with right now?
Yeah. And that makes sense. But we really do span that spectrum, right? Of very small to very large and everything in between. We have customers that only have 5 employees and they maybe run 4 events per year, but these events are essential to their donors and their customers, you know, to keep them engaged and to keep them giving. We also have corporate customers who are based out of Australia, based out of North America, who have hundreds of thousands of event attendees over the course of the year, some of which are very high touch of VIP customers. And, you know, for both of these organizations, we want to make sure that they have a positive software experience and that they're getting what they need out of it. For the small customer, it could be that someone who gave one time as part of a donation campaign becomes a recurring donor. And for those high touch, you know, VIP level organizations, you know, some of them are car companies that you may have heard of. We want to make sure that they're getting those same levels of metrics, that same level of satisfaction out of it too. So again, you know, it's not designed for a market segment. It's designed for the benefit of people running events and organizations running events.
So in this Salesforce ecosystem, then how does Blackthorn.io solve the problem of the common pitfalls in event management space? Is there one common pitfall that you can testify to having solved with Blackthorn?
Data loss is the huge pitfall that we solve very, very simply. Many organizations disconnect their tools for running an event from their primary data hub as a business, their CRM, right? And some might have connector apps or integrations that you can use, but if it's not real time, it's kind of worthless data. And if the integration is spotty, you're going to lose data. So that data loss costs the organization money at the end of the day, because you have gaps in what you know about who attended and whether or not they had a good time, because that good time could mean any number of things, right? So by being native to Salesforce and utilizing the data set that an organization already has, which arguably is its most valuable asset, we are able to completely diminish the risk of data loss, because all that data is native to that heart of the organization to begin with. We also solve something else that organizations don't tend to think about when they're looking at event management contracts, and that's the value of their employees' time when they have to reconcile data, right? They think of it as the cost of doing business, but it's not. Because every time your employee has to spend a day, a week, a month sometimes reconciling that data between multiple systems with the finance system and the CRM, they're not focusing on other aspects of their job. And that has value to the business. So being able to automate a lot of these processes alongside the data set that the company is already using saves time, it saves money, and it makes things more efficient so you can focus on customers instead of focusing on process.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation so far, Matt, and thank you so much for sharing all the information that you have shared so far. In closing, do you have maybe one piece of advice for any entrepreneur, small business owner, event professional, event planner, manager, producer out there that would be helpful for them as they plan their next event, their next endeavor?
Absolutely. From the very start, before you even process where the event is going to be, who your caterer is going to be, if this is going to be virtual, if this is going to be hybrid, if it's only going to be an in-person event, mark down what your goals are and work backwards from there, because that's going to determine the technology you need. It's going to determine the personnel support you need. It's going to determine what type of event planners you bring on if it's a large scale event, to make sure they're aligned with those goals and have experience with organizations like yours to be able to meet those goals. And if you're an event planner, an event director, an event manager, being able to show experience in certain areas, certain market segments, so that you can show, hey, I've helped associations meet these sorts of goals for membership renewal, or for a nonprofit to say, I've helped them meet these sorts of goals for donations and fundraising. Those are essential, and it helps make the decision on who you're bringing in to support your mission really easily. So start with your goals and work backwards from there.
So start with the end in mind.
Exactly. Read the last page of the book first.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all your insightful tips that you've shared with us today. Where can our audience connect with you, Matt?
Yeah, so connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. I'm literally talking to people every moment of every day, except for right now because I am recording a podcast. but you can also connect with us at blackthorn.io. The name of the company is the website, which is really cool. We also have YouTube, Twitter. Connect with us on all the social properties. We're more than happy to talk with you, help you solve your problems when it comes to events management and connecting that to your CRM.
Well, here's one last question. I promise it's the last one. Why Blackthorn? Like, what's the reasoning behind it?
So Blackthorn comes from a combination of some of our founders' names in some of their family's historical languages. So it comes together to create Blackthorn. And then .io is Internet of. So it's dealt with blockchain, Internet of Things, that sort of stuff. But it's all about honoring the mission of our founders and ensuring that a little bit of them carries with us throughout our time as a company.
Because in my mind, it was like, hey, here's a solution to take that torn out of your flash.
I love it. I'm going to start
using that. I just came up with my own, you know, reasoning. I'm like, this is probably why they came up with this thing. Out of your side.
Yes. Over the events planning, make it super easy.
Well, yeah, there you go. This has been great. Thank you so much for this time together, Matt. And for everyone that has listened, thank you for being here, staying all the way till the end. I hope that you learned a thing or two about Matt and all the things that he's passionate about. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of our next episodes airing out every Friday. Matt, have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, too.
Thank you for listening to the Events Demystified podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review it, rate it, and share it with other event professionals that could benefit from it. Connect with us on social at Events Demystified podcast. We would love to hear from you and what you're up to. If you'd like to learn more about TreeFan Event Services and find out if we're a good fit in supporting your event, can we help your event be successful with a 20-minute free consultation? Link in the episode's notes. Thanks for tuning in.